2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm continuing with this, what I started last week on the importance of doctrine. Last week we covered the fact that we live in a day and age when there is very little emphasis placed on sound doctrine. In fact, it's prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it was, that we looked at last week, that, you know, in the last days a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And, you know, we're seeing that, a fulfillment of that. People are turning to entertainment. There's so much work salvation that's being preached and taught. Emotionalism. Sadly, a lot of psychology has worked its way into churches. Even social justice has become prevalent in a lot of religious denominations. You got to be sound in doctrine. You got to know what you believe, what the Bible teaches. And that's what doctrine is. It's just teaching. But it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, doctrine simply means teaching. And it's by doctrine or teaching that the great realities of God and our relation to Him are made known unto us. You can label nearly everything as a doctrine. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of creation. And really, it's the teaching. It's the encompassing teaching from the Word of God about that particular subject. And it's through sound doctrinal teaching that believers grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's one way sound doctrine, it strengthens us. It helps churches to be solid, to be faithful. Now, doctrine, in large part, also determines what you practice. Because what you believe is going to affect how you act, personally as an individual and as a church. If you don't believe right, you're not going to act right. It's really that simple. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. So again, this is why doctrine, sound doctrine, is so vital, because it affects your practice. What you believe affects how you live and how you work this truth out. It says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Well, I don't know if that exactly fits what I wanted to say there. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus 2 verse 1. He's telling this young preacher, well, I don't know how young he was. I can't remember how old Titus was, but he says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In verse 7, notice, Doctrine has an impact on how you live. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Look at verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, all these verses point to a similar theme. What you believe affects what you practice. Now, if you're an Arminian and you believe that salvation is according to man's free will or his ability, some innate ability within him, you're going to be constantly appealing to man, to his ability to make a choice. And the emphasis won't be on the gospel. It won't be on repentance. It'll be on trying to persuade that person to exercise their will to make some kind of profession, any kind of profession, because you literally believe that it's up to you and it's up to them. Whereas if you believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is the one that works the entire plan and purpose and application of salvation from beginning to end, you know that God is going to save people. So you don't have to present the gospel in a special way. You just have to preach it, depending upon God to save the sinner. Now, it's interesting that throughout the epistles of Paul, if you'll read them carefully, you'll find that nearly every one of his epistles, he starts out with a doctrinal theme. He goes through and he establishes the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of justification by faith, the doctrine of predestination, preservation. I'm kind of referring to Romans, but he does this in almost every epistle. And then toward the end of the epistle, he always makes a practical application, how that doctrine should affect the way you live. And he goes into a more practical vein. So he establishes this pattern of setting forth doctrinal truth first and then practical admonitions, doctrine serving as the foundation of what you believe, and then the practical application. Now, one of the reasons why error and false teaching is so prevalent in our day, and I need to make this disclaimer. Sometimes people get the idea that, you know, this is the worst it's ever been. There was a lot of false doctrine in the early churches. I mean, they had to fight against legalism. They had to fight against Gnosticism. There were people that were anti-Trinitarian. And so there were a lot of heresies that they had to, you know, preach against and flesh out and expose. And then you go through, think about how many years that the umbrella of Christendom was recognized as being under the authority of the great harlot, the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, we're talking about a system, a religion that is impure at its source, at its core. I mean, think of all the false things that the Roman Catholic Church has taught people through the years. And those that would not abide it, would not agree with it, they would kill them. They would persecute them. They'd run them out wherever they could find them. So our Baptist forefathers had a lot to deal with in dealing with error. Now, the reason why I think it seems so bad today is because we're in it. You know, we're living in it. We're living in this society that really has no framework of doctrine, teaching about God, about the law, about the gospel. People in the main are scripturally ignorant. So we are fighting against something that is really very hard to deal with. Because really in our nation, and even in Europe, through the 1800s until higher criticism and evolution and Marxism and all these different philosophies began to take hold, there was at least a respect and a reverence for the Word of God and for people who preached and taught it and lived it. But we're way beyond that now. But the sad thing is that people who profess to be saved, who profess to go to church, they don't know nothing. I mean, they don't read their Bible. They don't know if they couldn't tell you. And by the way, you should know what it means to be born again. You should know the doctrine of regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit. You ought to know about the doctrine of election. You ought to know what it means to be saved by grace, justification by faith. These are all things that are elementary that you should know. But we're living in a religious world today where most people have cast off doctrine entirely for feelings and psychology and entertainment and whatever produces results. And you look back in our history, a lot of the results that we got, our Baptist forefathers, for preaching the truth was persecution and imprisonment and death. And really, that was pretty prevalent until about the 1700s, 1800s. Now, but one of the reasons why error and false teaching is so prevalent is because doctrinal truth is neglected by most churches and professing Christians. And this is true in Baptist churches too. Baptists who wear the name Baptist, they don't spend any time systematically teaching through the Bible. A lot of preachers get up, they might pick a text, say a couple words about the text, and then just fly around all over the Bible, never given I look at every sermon as a journey. You know, you start out at point A and you're trying to get to a destination, and all the while you're hoping that you're leading people in truth that makes sense, that they will apply to their life. But a lot of preachers, they just kind of fly by the seat of their pants. They don't teach any doctrine. There's nothing solid. A.W. Pink said this, and this was in his book, The Sovereignty of God, which, by the way, if you love to read, every Baptist ought to have The Sovereignty of God in their library by A.W. Pink. I bet I've read that book no less than five times. Sometimes if I get discouraged, I'll just read The Sovereignty of God, and the Lord will use it to bring me out of it. But here's what Pink said. The reason why there is so little depth, so little intelligence, so little grasp of the fundamental verities of Christianity is because so few believers have been established in the faith through hearing expounded and through their own personal study of the doctrines of grace. While the soul is unestablished in the doctrine of the divine inspiration of the Scripture, their full and verbal inspiration, there can be no firm foundation for the faith to rest upon. And it's so true. And it's, he said, it is ignorance of doctrine that has rendered the professing church helpless to cope with the rising tide of infidelity. It is the ignorance of doctrine which is mainly responsible for thousands of professing Christians being captivated by the numerous false isms of the day. It is because the time has now arrived when the bulk of our churches will not endure sound doctrine that they so readily receive false doctrines. So, it's one of the reasons why I believe it's important. My whole ministry, I have emphasized the inspiration of the Scriptures first and foremost, and that you as an individual ought to read them. You ought to familiarize yourself with them. The Bible ought to be part of your daily life. You ought to study all the doctrines of the Word of God. But I've also preached verse by verse, book by book. And then there are times when I've done doctrinal studies. Many of you have been, I've been here since 93. And I know that I've gone through the doctrine of the New Testament church at least twice. From A to Z. And I've gone through, I remember a series I did on old landmarkism. The principles and practices of Baptist churches. Your average Baptist church, they have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about the nature of the church. That it's a local, visible, called out assembly of baptized believers. They have no conception, no idea. They've been fed the universal church their entire religious life. I know I've been here 30 years. I've gone through the doctrines of grace at least twice. I mean from beginning to end. And answered objections from each of the doctrines of grace. Because I believe in teaching doctrine. I've done the same thing with prophecy. And those really are three main areas of doctrinal teaching. I've taught through T.P. Simmons' book, Outlines of Systematic Theology, that's what I call my book, based on his book. But anyway, I made an outline of the whole thing and taught through systematic theology. I'm thinking about going through it again. Why? Because I think doctrine's important. In a day and age when most churches neglect it, it's how we grow. And the fact is, I didn't plan on preaching very long tonight because we have a business meeting. But how can we hope to combat false teaching and wrong doctrines unless we understand how important sound doctrine really is? You know, that's a big key. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this truth, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. The most popular preachers of today are all false teachers who downplay doctrinal truth in favor of experience, psychology, self-esteem, entertainment. Joel Osteen, used to be Rick Warren. People just are not embracing sound doctrine. So that's why I think it's important from time to time for us to just focus on doctrinal truth. Okay? So we'll stop there tonight, and we're going to go ahead and have our business meeting.